There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Views and opinions expressed by those involved in the show are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views held by the Newbie Guide to Sweden. Welcome back, newbies. Welcome to this fifth episode of the Newbie Guide to Sweden podcast. I am your host, human person, Shiona, and oh my God, it's already June and only 23 sleeps until midsummer. Holy shit. Wherever you are in Sweden, I certainly hope you are basking in all this glorious sunshine and warmth and positive vibes. Have you noticed that people are actually making eye contact with you out on the street again? Everyone's alive. Everyone's happy. Every restaurant is spilling out onto the sidewalks again. Certain streets in town have turned into gårgatorna or walking-only streets. This time of year, honestly, I think Sweden is the best place to be in the entire world. But do you agree with me? What do you think? Speaking of your opinions, we would love to hear from you guys more. So hit us up on the Newbie Guide to Sweden Instagram page or Facebook group. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast and spend 2 minutes giving us a glowing review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It makes the world of a difference to us. Today's episode, we are starting to talk about holiday destinations in Sweden. I've got a list of a few amazing places for you to check out around the country. I will also be talking to a newbie who is a professional outdoor adventure guide. So maybe she'll give you guys some inspiration on outdoor activities to try this summer, if you're feeling so inclined. And of course, we will hear her story of how she came to Sweden and her experience living here. So sit back, put your feet up and relax as we journey to some of Sweden's loveliest holiday destinations. First things first though, here's a short PSA about passports. Now, international travel has been somewhat limited over the past 2 and a bit years, but maybe this year you're planning on visiting somewhere outside of Sweden this summer. Fabulous idea! But just be bloody sure to check your bloody passport expiry bloody date, particularly if there is a Swede in your life who intends to travel with you. Swedish passports are only valid for 5 years, and if you didn't already hear about this in the news, there is a mad panicked rush of Swedes getting their passports renewed right now. At the moment, waiting times for appointments are like 2 months long. Plus, you've got to wait for the actual passport to get back to you. My own beloved husband, Victor Pants, had to fly all the way up to Kiruna last weekend just to have his passport renewed. So be warned and check your passports before booking anything. You're welcome. All right, now let's look at places to visit in Sweden during the summer. Now, these are mine and the newbie team's personal favorites, but please feel free to call in via Instagram and share your own smultronställe with us. Firstly, seeing as we were just on the western side of the country last episode, I've got to mention Västkusten or the West Coast. The Yes, Kristen is basically Gothenburg's version of the Stockholm Archipelago, comprising of over 8,000 islands north of Gothenburg. The coast of Bohuslän, which is the northern section of this west coast, was once declared the world's seventh most beautiful natural landscape by CNN. The coast is incredibly beautiful, but also quite unique and unlike anything else in Sweden that I've been to. The coast is actually super rocky, but these rocks are huge, flat, and bare, so they almost look like a kind of barren desert of reddish rock. It's utterly breathtaking to look at, and there's so many amazing villages to visit to see this in its glory. If you're heading to Västkusten, you should check out Smögen, which is one of the more popular villages to visit in the area. There's plenty of places for people to dock their boats there. There's a lot of bars, restaurants. It's extremely popular with a younger crowd. And it is also home to one of the main images you will see when Googling Västkusten, which is this strip of beautifully painted beach houses along the water against a backdrop of high rock. It is absolutely worth a visit. Fun fact, when Victor and I were there in 2019, we were sitting in a fabulous restaurant and about four courses in, the entire restaurant lost its power. And then we realised that actually it was the whole of Smögen that lost its power. And the reason was, about a 5-minute drive away, Swedish House Mafia were doing a sound check for a festival they were going to play the following night, and their rig blew a very, very important fuse. So anything can happen on Smögen. Another place I absolutely loved was an area called Tjörn, spelled T-J-E-R-N. In particular, this island called Klädesholmen. Now, if you are a fan of sill, fermented herring, which you all really should absolutely try, hit up at the restaurant called Salt and Sill on Klädesholmen. It's heaven, and I've never seen so many different varieties of sill. And some other fabulous places on Västkusten are Falkenberg and Marstrand. Are you after an excellent beach? Well, don't get on a plane to Spain, doll. We have heavenly beaches right here in Sweden. In fact, my own Australian mother visited one of these beaches I'm about to mention, and she declared that it was one of the nicest beaches she's ever been to in her life. And I didn't even pay her to say that, and she wasn't even drunk at the time, so she is a reliable source. Österlen is part of Skåne, a southern area of Sweden, and Österlen is right over on the right-hand side of the cucumber. God, I absolutely love this part of Sweden and actually was planning on getting married there, but you know, Miss Rona came along and fucked all that up. Anyway, Österlen is a brilliant place to visit, especially if you're into open fields, farmhouses, long rolling hills, and believe it or not, beaches. Go ahead and type Stenshuvuds National Park into Google and check it out. Yes, that is Sweden. It's not Thailand. The sand is white, there's plenty of luscious trees arching over the sand for shade, and the water is clear as crystal. There's also a paddock that runs along a section of this beach, so you can get the occasional curious visit from some local cows. Another great beach in Österlen is Sandhammaren. This beach is very Australian looking. I thought I'd miraculously travelled by flue powder back to the Great Ocean Road when I saw it. That was until I accidentally stumbled across the nude section of the beach. Then I remembered I was very much in Sweden. Next is Gotland. Gotland is a must. Oh God, guys, I mean, oh my God, you just go, just see it, trust me. Gotland is a big-ass island, just a 40-minute flight or a three-and-a-bit-hour ferry ride south of Stockholm. And it is simply best described as a slice of heaven that came tumbling out of the sky and landed in the Baltic Ocean. Gotland is insane. It is quite a large island. There's about 50,000 people who live on it. And the main city on Gotland is Visby. And it has been rightfully voted Sweden's most beautiful village and arguably one of the best preserved medieval towns in the world. Gotland is one of the most popular destinations to visit during the summer, offering a mix of brilliant restaurants, bars, as well as a stunning countryside. Something that people will often talk about is the light on Gotland. It is very, very special and very good for the gram. In Visby, there's themed weeks during the summer, including Almedalensveckan, where all major political parties and industries meet up in the village and hold speeches and conferences. There's also Stockholmsveckan, where huge beach parties take place in Visby and the likes of Swedish House Mafia come and play and hopefully don't blow the power. And Medievalveckan, where an entire medieval village is constructed from scratch and people come to live life exactly as it was in the Middle Ages. Look, I won't talk too much about Gotland because it definitely deserves its own episode, but if Gotland isn't already on your list of places to visit during the summer, put it there, put it now, put it at the top. Okay, done. Another fabulous summer island is Öland, just off the coast of Kalmar. Very, very similar vibe and landscape to Gotland, just a little smaller. There's also a big castle on Öland called Borgholms slott, where a lot of concerts take place. And if you've ever seen the music video of Roxette's Listen to Your Heart, that is actually filmed at Borgholms slott on Öland. If you're more into activities like hiking, you could head up to Högakusten or the High Coast, up north in Västernorrlands län. This coast got its name due to the raised landscape and many mountains towering 300 metres high. This tall landscape was created during the Ice Age. There's loads of fun hikes or trail runs to do in the area, including mountains like Skulleberget. There's also some famous natural attractions in the area, such as Slottdalsskriven, which is this narrow passage that's about 200 metres long where it looks like someone huge took an enormous axe to the rock mountain and cut it clean in half. It's really, really cool, very stunning to look at, and a really fun hike to take. Speaking of mountains, those of you who have a particular taste for real adventure, you should go and climb Sweden's tallest mountain, Kebnekaise. Kebnekaise is super far north, almost all the way up to Norway. There are two routes up Kebnekaise that you can take from the Kebnekaise mountain station, the east route and the west route. Apparently the east route is a little bit more interesting, a little bit more difficult. You actually cross a glacier doing this route, apparently, and you do this one with a tour guide. Otherwise, the west route you can do without a guide. According to my reading, June is the best month to climb Kebnekaise, so check it out. And if you have already climbed Kebnekaise, I would personally love to hear from you, to hear what it was like, to hear how difficult it was. So hit us up on the Newbie Guide to Sweden Instagram page. And finally for this list, there is, of course, the Stockholm Archipelago, where you literally have over 24,000 options of islands to visit. Some of my personal favourites are Urne, which you can get to via ferry from Dalarö, but I also love Fjäderholmen, which is one of the closest ones to Stockholm. It has a great brewery on it and some restaurants. I also took my dad all the way out to Sandhamn, which was really cool. We also had one of the best steaks I've ever had in my life there. The great part of the Stockholm archipelago is that there are just so many options and so many ferries heading out to all these different islands really often during the summer. So if you're not sure, just head to Strandvägen and catch one of these ferries to one of these islands. See where you end up. You will not be disappointed.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Okay, wow, that's a lot of listening to me, but hopefully that gets you guys started on your summer plans. But I'd also love to hear from you. What have I missed? What are your favorite summer destinations in Sweden? Have you been to any of the ones I've mentioned? Hit us up. But now it is time to meet our newbie for this episode, and I'd love to introduce you all to Alexandra, who's got a lot of experience with outdoor activities in some of the places I've been talking about. We caught up in a cafe in Vasastan. I apologize that this cafe was kind of noisy during the end of our interview, but bear with me, it is worth the listen.
Okay, so my name is Alexandra Aristarchova.
Have you ever done a podcast before?
Not a podcast, no. I was thinking about it, but no, it hasn't been reality yet.
Okay, well, I'm happy to pop your cherry and welcome to your first podcast interview.
Thank you, Shona.
Of course. So, Alexandra, I'm so happy to meet you, and thanks for making the effort and taking your time to come and speak to me here in Vasastan, Stockholm.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Alexandra, tell me a little bit about yourself. What is it that you do for most of your work?
So I have a nature spirit guiding agency.
Fabulous. Sounds yes. Very adventurous. Tell me more.
Well, I came up with the idea. I was studying destination management. In 2019.
Cool. Here in Stockholm?
Here in Stockholm, yes.
Nice.
And I always love traveling, and I'm a traveler myself, so I wanted to do something fun. That was something that I wanted to do anyway for the summer while I was on vacation. Nice. So I started up this idea that I wanted to connect also people with nature, because I think that's one of the most important things that we have. We're so busy. Mm-hmm. We have the everyday life. We're running, stress, and then to get out to have an opportunity for people to get out in nature and to connect and to find the alignment.
Yes.
So the soul alignment also happens.
Sounds beautiful. And I mean, Sweden is so abundant when it comes to nature. I mean, what is it, like 70% of the country is trees or something ridiculous like this? Like, it's there's so much nature in Sweden. And what kind of activities do you focus on as part of your outdoor activity agency?
I focus on forest walking tours, mm-hmm. and also on the sea with the water and kayaking.
Oh, fun! You know, I had a friend from Australia. She came over with her partner, and they did... One of the first things they did when they got to Stockholm was a kayaking
really?
Tour. Yeah, and they just loved it, and they thought it was such a cool way to get to know, just see Stockholm from the water.
Absolutely, we have so much water. That's why Stockholm is such a beautiful city too. Mm. We have the water, we have the archipelago, so you can go in the city, but you can also go outside the city.
Yes.
And then we have 30,000 islands.
There's a few choices, isn't there?
Yeah.
As a person who's moved here, like, even though I'm Australian, and everyone thinks Australians, of course, are out on the beach every single second of every single day, surfing or whatever. But the truth is, we're you know, not that.
No.
I think compared to Swedes, I think we're not that outdoor.
Swedes think that you are.
I know. We have this crazy reputation that we're never indoors. But I actually think compared to Swedes, during the spring and summer, I don't think anyone's more outdoorsy than Swedes. Or maybe it's all of Scandinavia. I'm not sure. But why do you think there is such an appetite for outdoor activities like hiking and kayaking?
Okay, then I have a good answer for you.
Good.
It's our winter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's because we're prisoners.
Yes.
6 months of
we crave the sunlight.
But maybe that's why Australians then are not so outdoorsy.
No, you're
because
so
we
spoiled with sun.
Yes, exactly. And we take it for granted. Mm. You know, I think even I appreciate the outdoors much more now than I ever did living in Australia for 28 years. It must be just the way this place is.
It's so dark.
You crave it.
Yes. And as soon as the light comes out, everyone's out. I don't know if you noticed it in the spring, like the first hours of sun after the gloomy weather is gone in April.
Yeah. I noticed that people are looking in your eye more.
Mm-hmm.
On the street, you actually pass people and you feel connected to them.
Oh.
Whereas in winter, I think everyone's just trying to survive.
Yeah. Keep the warmth.
Yeah, exactly. Just get through it.
Yeah.
Get to the end. How does your tour with you work? Do you sort of set a starting point in Stockholm, or do you sort of design it around the people you're giving the tour to?
I have two standard packaging that I work with, that I have been working with so far. And they are full service, premium tours. Mm. So everything is readily packaged. So I pick you up from the city or where you live in the city, door to door. And then we go out. If you choose the water, the kayaking, so we go outside to the archipelago. That takes 40 minutes. Mm. And then we pick the kayaks and we take it easy. And it's nothing about doing or, you know, going or it's just being, just relaxing.
Yeah.
And it's the connection with the elements, the water, the air, and to find the peace and not to be stressed by the technical stuff.
Yeah.
So all that is covered. You don't have to think about that. And we don't have to go and stretch ourselves physically or anything. We just be out on the water.
Oh, I really like that because I think for some people, maybe for some people, the idea of doing a kayaking tour could feel quite overwhelming.
Right.
Because it could feel like, oh, what if I'm not fit enough or I can't do it or if it's really hard. But it sounds like what you're offering is more than just the physical act of kayaking. It's actually connecting with the experience. Fantastic. What made you want to do this? Because I'm assuming you, if you only started doing this in 2019, what made you decide to change and start doing this for a living?
Well, I have a background as a photographer.
Okay.
So I've always been freelancing. And during my studies, I needed something to do over the summer. And nature has always been a very, very dear part of my being as well, because the connection, and I do a lot of meditation and mindfulness, and I've lived out in a little cottage in the forest for 7 years, so I really connected. And I wanted to bring it to the city and to the people who are travelers, and maybe they're here for 3 days and they have limited of time. And I also long to connect with the world,
yes.
With people from all over the world, and offer this experience of connecting with nature and see Sweden in another way, not just the city, but also to see the nature side of it. Because, as you say, it's such a big part of the Swedish soul.
Yes, it feels like that.
I haven't had any Swedish guests, so I only work with travelers.
Cool, that's awesome. Yeah. Wow, and you've had people from all around the world.
All around the world. A lot of from America.
Yeah.
Some from Asia.
Right. Have you had any Australians?
I had a couple Australians.
Oh, good. Good to know that we're getting in there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but that must be fantastic, seeing these people who probably haven't been to Stockholm before or even to Sweden before, getting to see this country from a brand new perspective in the elements. It must make you very proud.
It makes me content.
Okay.
And fulfilled, and gives me a lot of joy because it's a lot of sharing. It's like a friendship connection. We can share and we can talk and we can sit, watch the sunset from a rock in the forest or in the ocean, see the sunset or the moon rise.
Oh my God, it sounds like heaven. Yeah. So are you camping as well on these?
No, I don't camp. We do late nights kayaking. So we have done once we were out until 1:30 in the night.
Wow.
Because it was so beautiful. It was completely still and there was full moon rising. And we just had to see that. So
yeah.
We stayed.
And I guess this time of year, 1 a.m. is like, it's not dark. You can be out till 1 a.m. and be able to get back to where you need to be totally safely.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about in this episode about Smergen and Gotland and Högakusten and obviously the Stockholm archipelago. I mean, the nature is so beautiful but also very different.
It
depending
is.
On where you go.
So there's a lot to do when you come here. To
yes.
explore. And as you say, the West Coast and the East Coast are so different, and then you have the South, which is totally different from the
yes.
North.
Yes, mm-hmm. exactly.
And also light-wise, like you have the midnight sun up in the North, then you have the starry sky down the South, so it's very different.
Yeah. I'm interested in this also, this element that you seem to be very passionate about sort of meditation and connecting with nature. Can you tell me more about that?
The grounding element.
Yes. Ooh, I like the sound of this.
Sometimes we just go barefoot. I had a friend or a guest from, she lived in Dubai.
Yeah.
But she was from Kuwait. And it was her first time in Scandinavia. She traveled alone.
Yes.
Because she was very well kept by her family.
Mm.
And she could just feel totally relaxed because it was only us out in nature.
And like just you and her?
Yeah, just us.
Fabulous.
Yeah, so we took our shoes off and we found there was a mud place around a well where you can drink the water. So she was taking shoes. I want to go into the mud. I want to feel the mud. So we took our shoes off and we into the black mud up to our ankles and we're just, you know, feeling the earth.
Wow! How liberating!
I know.
That must have been an incredible experience.
It was.
For her.
Yeah.
And for you as a guide, I guess you are also led by the people who are on your tours, you know, and I think that's very cool that you're very, you seem like a person that if you felt someone was feeling a certain type kind of way, you could help navigate that and maybe so you're not sticking to a very rigid plan. It can sort of go in any direction like a painting in
right.
a way.
That's exactly how we do the tours, because I don't see myself as a guide. I just see myself as the being who are holding the space.
Like the facilitator.
The facilitator, yes.
Yeah, and then it's a collaborative
right.
experience, if you like,
yes.
that between you and whoever's on your tour, you create this experience together.
Yes, exactly like that.
That's very cool.
And that's why it's so different, because there's so many paths that you can take in the same area, and all the paths maybe lead to the same place, but they're different. And it depends on which way the guests or the friends want to go.
Yeah.
And what we do there, maybe we want to stop.
Yeah.
Maybe we want to hug a tree.
Oh my God. I've always wanted to do that.
Yeah. you need someone who make you dare to do that, right?
Well, exactly. I can totally imagine myself if I was on a tour and you said, you know what, Shiona, this is a very old tree and this is a very special place and this has a lot of history here and I want you to hug that tree. I would do it and I'd be like, thank God someone asked me to do it.
Right.
That can be quite life-changing, I'd imagine, for some people.
Yes. Yeah, that was the best compliment, actually, someone said. She was from the United States. But it was her and it was two French guests. And she said, you changed their life. Do you know that?
Wow, for real?
Yes, so that was the best compliment.
Oh, my God. I love that. So if a person wants to do a tour with you, how does it work?
Yeah, I do only small groups of maximum 4 people, so it's very intimate. And everyone gets to know each other. So it becomes like a little family.
Yeah, I like that. That's really cool. Mm-hmm.
So it's not the big group where it's not personal. I like to keep it personal and simple and, yeah.
Definitely. So if you were a single person, you could join a group and there'd be maybe some other people there.
Yeah.
Or you could book something privately.
Right.
Oh, that's really nice to know. Yeah. What a great way to meet new people.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because then you can really connect.
We were planning on doing it we only had one weekend we could possibly do it on, and of course it was raining, so we never did it.
Oh, but that can be beautiful as well.
For real?
Yes.
In the rain?
In the rain. We had thunder once.
Really?
Yes.
Doesn't the kayak fill with water?
No, that's where you have your spray skirt.
Oh, yes. Okay. So you can kayak in the rain?
You can, yes.
Oh my God.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's like next level adventurous.
Oh, yes.
Well, Alexandra, I want to also get to know you because... I mean, you've been living in Sweden for quite a long time. So you are what I would call an oldie newbie. Because you're still a newbie, but you've been here for a while. You know, you're used to this country. So tell me about yourself. Where are you from originally?
Well, I'm from Russia.
Fabulous. And from where in Russia?
St. Petersburg. But before, it was called Leningrad.
Yes.
So I'm from that age.
Wow, yes.
From the 70s. So we moved to Sweden with my mother in the 80s. 1980, actually, yes.
Yes, wow.
Yeah.
And you were just a little kid.
I was 7, yes.
Wow. Do you remember that time in your life when you were moving?
Yeah, I remember it very, very clearly. It was very different, of course, because it was two different cultures, totally different cultures. And also, it seemed like two different timelines because the Russian, we didn't have all the technology and all of, you know, everyone in Sweden had color photos of themselves. I had black and white photos of myself.
Oh, wow.
So it feels like a little bit of an age gap or a time lapse.
You felt that Russia was behind, I guess.
Behind in that way, but... also more grounded in, like we had the foods that was there were more genuine, I felt, because you go to this deli and you pick the cheese and you pick the bread and you pick the meat or whatever, and they wrap it up in a paper and you take it home and you cook it. Whether here you go to IKEA.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah, and you go and everything is plastic, you know?
Yeah.
Everything is wrapped in plastic. You have different, like in America, or I guess also in Australia, you have so much to choose from, but everything is in plastic. You can't touch it, you can see it, you can't smell it, you don't know where it's from.
Yeah, sure. So like that didn't exist in Russia.
No.
It was like privately owned delis.
Yes.
Yeah, that must have been a real trip.
It was.
Wow. And I mean, how was that like as a kid? I mean, it must have been really confusing as a kid, a new language and
I learned pretty quick.
That's right.
Yeah, I started first grade when I came. So I was 7 and I was just before the summer. And then after the summer, I started school and maybe took a year to pick it up.
I mean, it must have been such a weird thing being sort of thrown into school and I guess not understanding anything. Yeah. And then gradually being like, oh yeah, living in this language.
Mm, it was a strange experience, and a little bit also, I felt a little bit outside, but then everyone was very inclusive, so the teacher was really nice, and my mom was there during the classes as well.
She translated for me,
and from English, then she was a translator, simultaneous translator from French and English.
Wow, she was translating which languages?
Yeah, from English, to me, into Russia.
Oh, wow.
So the teacher was translating to her in English, and she translated to me.
Oh, okay, so the class was in Swedish, yeah. And then the teacher said it in English to your mom, and your mom said it in Russian to you.
Yeah.
What a process.
I know.
Fantastic that you could do that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess was it just your parents and yourself who moved here, or do you have brothers or sisters?
No, it was just me and my mother and her new husband then. She married Roland, who was Swedish.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, what was the reason you moved? But I guess the love.
Yeah, they met at work, so yeah.
Oh, fabulous. Mm. I mean, so many people I interviewed, myself included, have moved here for love. Mm. And so have you.
Yes.
It was just your mother's love that brought you here.
Mm.
Fabulous. But now that you've been here, how many years have you been living in Sweden, dare I ask?
1980, what is it then?
Then it's...
Math is not my subject.
42 years.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a long time.
Yeah, so Sweden is your...
Yeah.
Sweden is home.
It is.
Do you have any sort of... how do you feel about Russia? Is it still connected to you? It must still have a connection to it.
Yeah, I have a connection. I have a deep connection to it. But if I go back, they think that I'm Swedish, so...
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Have you still got some understanding of Russian?
I understand everything, but then it's not alive because my mother wanted us to be, you know, in the Swedish community. So she didn't have any Russian friends or anything like that. We moved to Gothenburg, to the West Coast, and we were the first ones, I think. I don't know if there was so many people moving at that time.
Oh, wow.
Because it was KGB times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
So you weren't allowed.
Feels like you really embraced Sweden and really adopted it as your home.
I have.
But did you grow up in Gothenburg then?
I did, yes.
Ah, so do you have a Gothenburg accent?
Well, I have. If I go there, it will come out.
Fantastic. Our last episode was about Gothenburg,
really?
And I talk about how jolly the accent is.
Oh.
I love the Gothenburg accent.
You do?
Yeah,
I
everyone
don't like
sounds.
It.
Oh, you don't like it?
No, I don't like it.
It's great. I just love it. You mentioned before, I don't know if I heard you correctly, but you said that you used to live in like a cabin.
I did, yes.
Was that?
That was a little red cabin. From the, I think it was built like in the early 19th century, in the forest.
Wow, like in the forest. Whereabouts?
In the forest, yeah. Well, I have one neighbor.
Oh. Just the one.
Yeah, just the one.
A kilometer away.
Yeah, I never saw him.
You think he had a neighbor?
Yeah, I think so. I saw the house.
But whereabouts in Sweden was this cabin?
That was on the west coast.
Okay.
Yeah. Up in Alingsås. That's also a pretty place to visit. But back then it was really secluded.
Not many people do that. Would you encourage someone to do something similar?
Swedes love to do that.
Why do you think that is?
Because of the silence and the quietness and because the stillness that you can relax and be totally stress-free. It takes away all the stress.
I think part of me thinks it would be really amazing to try it, and part of me thinks I would get, I don't know if I would get freaked out or just like, it could be quite intimidating having nothing going on. But I think that would be
maybe periodically.
Yes, exactly.
Not for 7 years.
No. That's a long time to be quiet.
I had my spiritual journey out there. So.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yes.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
So it was a lot of growth and a lot of connection with nature. It was interesting, actually. I was living there for 7 years, and then I was, okay, I'm finished. I'm done. I have to have a contrast. Okay, I'm going to go to New York.
So. Wait, you went from a little cabin on the West Coast with one neighbor that you think was there because you never saw him to New York City.
I did. Because I craved the civilization. So I went to New York and I was there for 3 months, but I never felt so lonely in my whole life.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was totally alone and in the forest. Well, I had friends visiting and stuff, but I was never lonely there. Never.
Wow.
It was a connection with nature, and I was always busy going and visiting my trees and talking to the water and sitting on the stones and, you know, all of that.
Sounds amazing. And then to New York where the buildings don't talk to you.
No, they didn't.
Oh, wow.
It was such a contrast. Interesting contrast, because I didn't think so, because it's full of people, but the people don't have that connection. And that's also the thing that I'm trying to bring back, the connection of city people comes out in nature and find the connection.
Yes, it sounds like because you've really, really lived this and you've really, I guess, done your own personal study into what this does to a person connecting with nature, it's almost like you really could be like, listen, I know that you need this.
Yeah.
It's very good for you.
Yeah.
The trees can talk to you.
Yeah.
I was talking a bit about sort of places that, you know, expats can visit around Sweden that are sort of like the, you know, the main places. But do you have some places that you, when it comes to nature, just can't miss them?
Well, the whole Sweden is covered with forests, as we talked about, but not so many people know this still. Most of it is planted, so it's not natural forests.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So you have to go and find the virgin forests.
Mm-hmm.
There's only 2-4% left.
Wow.
Yep. So if you find those forests, then you're in a fairy tale land. Yeah.
And tell us, where are they? Where are they, Alexandra?
A small little place, a little spot here, right next to Stockholm, actually. It's Tyresö Nationalpark.
Tyresö, of course.
It's one of the little patches that are left, actually, that is a virgin nature forest.
Oh, yes. Mm. I love Tyresö. I've done a walk, like a hike there just with friends.
Mm. Yeah.
That's a fabulous,
it is.
Fabulous place.
And so close to Stockholm.
Yeah, very, very close.
You can take a day trip.
I think the other thing that's great about national parks like Tyresö is it's very well signed, and you get a lot of, the commune put a lot of money into these places to encourage people to go for a walk,
right?
Do a barbecue somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. And it's allowed because we have the Allemansrätt, the rites of passage. That is very special to Sweden as well.
Yes, can you tell us more about that, please?
Yeah. The rite of passage is that even though the land is private and you have forest and you have nature on it, everyone are allowed to not to trespass, but you can walk there and you can put up a tent and you can make a barbecue, and for 2 days you're allowed to have the tent at the same spot.
So you can literally camp in Tyresö National Park.
National park's a little bit special because they have a little, special agreements. So they probably have a place for you where you can put up the tent.
Okay, like a designated area for it. Yeah, that's...
Uh-huh. But if you go up the coast and you see a lot of forest and it's not a national park, then you can go in there. It's not fenced or anything, yeah.
Wow.
You're allowed to be there. And also on the shoreline, as long as you don't see the house where you camp.
Oh, okay, so that's, you have to be a fair distance from maybe a house, so
you're
not intruding.
You don't disturb.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's not a law, but it's an agreement that we have.
Okay, yes, and obviously if you do that, you need to be respectful and clean up after yourself, but that's a wonderful thing for people to know, that if you do decide to do like a Kungsleden, like those really long trails that you can do for days, you can actually just take a tent with you. And
you can backpack and you can tent tent or a hammock, or yeah, you can sleep in the forest. Oh, no problem.
That's heavenly.
Yeah.
So, Alexandra, if people are very interested in doing a tour with you, where should they find you?
I have an Instagram account, which is Nature Spirit Sweden. And in there, I also have a link because I'm on Airbnb. I have two tours there. But also welcome to contact me directly through Instagram.
Fabulous. We'll put the links in the show notes so then people can find it straight away. Have you ever done tours with people who have moved to Sweden but they're new to Sweden?
Yes, I have had expats guests.
Oh, lovely. Oh, yes.
They enjoyed it very much because, to the contrast of the city life, to get out and see the archipelago and also to have a chance to go with a guide who knows. And also to see the locals, because where I rent the kayaks is also a special place, because the guy who has the kayak rental is a very local guy.
Oh, really?
Because he lived at the same spot for his whole life.
That's so nice.
He knows it all.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, I really hope people dare to do something different this summer. Do a kayaking tour or a walking tour. Hug some trees.
Yes.
And maybe even for the very adventurous, they can hire a cabin in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And just experience that sense of nature and solitude and see if they can get to the point that you got to, where you actually feel not alone, being alone.
Right. I highly recommend, yes.
I love it. Well, Alexandra, thank you so much. So much for taking the time to talk to me. I think this has been really eye-opening and super interesting to hear about your journey.
Thank you, Shona. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Giving me the opportunity.
Of course. It's lovely to meet you.
Newbie friends, we've gotten to the end of this episode, but I hope you've enjoyed this little insight to some summer destinations, and hopefully you're walking away with some inspiration on what to do this summer. I'd like to say a very, very huge and warm thank you to Alexandra from Nature Spirit Sweden for taking the time to talk to me, not only about what she offers, but her story. And please hit her up on Instagram, Nature Spirit Sweden, all one word, and you can find the link to her tours in the show notes for today's episode. Do support her. As always, hit us up on the Newbie Guide to Sweden Instagram page or Facebook group. Let us know what you thought of this episode and maybe some other things you'd like us to cover. Please rate and review this episode and podcast. It really helps us. And we'll see you for one more episode this season before we break for the summer. And until then, ha det bra.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.